Well, tonight I'd like to look at Philippians chapter 1 here in verse 12. And this is Apostle Paul here speaking in verse 12, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. He says these words here, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds or chains in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." Let's pray here tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you for what we have here by the Apostle Paul. And Father, I just thank you for his life, his ministry, and how Christ lived through him. And Father, I pray tonight as we look at his life through the pages of Scripture that you would guide our thoughts here. And Father, you've given us many great examples in Scriptures to emulate, to be encouraged by, to be strengthened by. And Father, I just pray here tonight, Lord, as we look at the life of the Apostle Paul and what you've done in and through his life, that we may take courage in the times we live in that are uncertain and, Lord, ever-changing so quickly before our eyes. So, Lord, help us take courage and hope here tonight. And, Father, as we look into your word, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. That little phrase here in verse 12, "that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the" what? Gospel. You know, there's a way of looking at life. Now, we all have many facets to life. We have our family. We have our job. We have relationships with people. We have our church family. We have all these different things that are floating out there in life and just makes life, all the different dimensions, makes it wonderful and enriching. But there's a certain way of seeing life. If you see it through the furtherance of the gospel, it really helps you stay on track in life. Because let's just say a person is all focused on his work. Well, how is his events in his life going to happen to him? In other words, if his work goes up, he's elated. If his work goes down, he's devastated. You know, if you overemphasize one above the other, it can cause problems. But here for the Christian and the believer, how do we see life? Well, for Paul, he saw his chains, my bonds, his chains, were for what? The furtherance of the gospel. So where did that put him? In other words, he saw the gospel like up here. And he saw him underneath here carrying the gospel forward around the world. And so whatever happened to him, he always viewed it through, how is this for the furtherance of the gospel? And because he knew a couple of things here. One, is God always in control? Absolutely. So no matter what happened to him, if it's for the furtherance of the gospel, he knows somehow God's going to work this out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, was Paul a great missionary? First missionary journey, second missionary journey, third missionary journey. Man, he was all over the Roman Empire. And you know, what's most interesting about the Roman Empire, and I was doing a little reading about this, and I never really thought about it a whole lot, but there was people who traveled, certainly, but for the most common people, they didn't really travel a whole lot, because when you were a Roman, you know how Paul had to say he was a Roman citizen of Sicily, and, you know, people back then, did they have driver's license? They didn't have, like, birth certificates like we got. So how did you prove you're a Roman citizen? Because that was huge, because most people weren't Roman citizens. To have that citizen was a huge blessing, because when you're a Roman citizen, you had the protection of the Roman government around you and over you and under you. They looked out for one another, but that was a huge privilege. Now, how would you prove you're a Roman citizen if you didn't have any ID? Any ideas?
Well, he would say his background, like his parents or the synagogue.
Okay.
He had studied out of.
Right. Well, you hit the relationships he had. That's the only way you hit, because my father was a Roman citizen, and everybody would know your relatives, because people really didn't travel that much. Now, for Paul, he traveled everywhere. He went everywhere. And all of a sudden, he finds himself one day, ching, ching. Now, how long has he been chained? In Acts 25, we're getting there tonight. But how long was he there chained? 2 years. That's a long time. For somebody who's gone from first missionary journey, second missionary, third, he all of a sudden, ching. Now, could you imagine he probably sat there some days thinking, Time's dragging heavy on the hand. Can you imagine just sitting there? 2 years? Man, your feet were made to run. Here he's sitting there. How could Paul comfort himself? By having this understanding, unto me have fallen out rather unto what? The furtherance of the gospel. So that my chains in Christ, see, he wasn't a prisoner of Rome. My chains in Christ, he saw Christ had a purpose in this, are manifest, are shown, are made known in all the palace and in all other places. And what was the fallout in verse 14? And many of the brethren of the Lord are becoming confident by my chains. So in other words, the brethren out there look, says, Paul, he hadn't given up the faith. He's still strong. He's still hanging in there. He's still sticking by the stuff. And if Paul can't go, guess what? I can go. Now, heard of Jim Elliot before? How was he killed? Which tribe? Anybody remember? Aka Indians. Was that devastating to the Christian community when he was killed? I mean, that was devastating. I mean, he gave his life for that. But guess what? When he went to glory, they estimate thousands of people stepped forward and said, Jim's not there. I'm going. Can that work out for the furtherance of the gospel? Do you see how that works? And sometimes in our lives, we feel that way. We feel in bondage. But that doesn't mean the gospel's bound. It doesn't mean God can't use our chains. And so sometimes, so encourage here. Now, we look out across America here. Is Christianity flourishing or is it in retreat? It is. We're getting beat up on every side. Now, can that work out for the furtherance of the gospel? It can. I don't know how. God knows how. But I know one thing. The gospel is going to go forth. God's going to be glorified. And the saints of God are going to be in glory one day. All things work together for good, for the furtherance of the gospel. So as we look at Paul, he probably sat there. And we haven't got to Acts. It's just introductory stuff here. I want to use up all my time just introductory stuff. But for Paul, he took courage in knowing that whatever happened to him happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Whatever's happened in America, no matter how discouraging it is, can be for the furtherance of the gospel. Although we may not understand it. And, you know, we read through scripture here. Paul couldn't maybe understand it, but God had a purpose in it. We'll turn to Acts 25 here. Verse 13, we looked at this last time. And after certain days, Acts 25, 13, certain days, King Agrippa, Bernice came into Caesarea to salute Festus. Festus was a new ruler there. The king came to pay him a visit and been there many days. Festus declared to Paul's case, the king saying, there's a certain man left in bonds by Felix. And we looked at that last time and Basically, Festus didn't know what to do with this guy. As a Roman curator, he had to, you know, decide the cases and make judgments. And because Paul wasn't getting a fair trial here, he appealed to Caesar, the right of a Roman soldier and a Roman citizen. And Paul was reserved unto Caesar to make his appeal for justice. Festus didn't know what to do, so he appealed to King Agrippa. I got this situation. I don't know what to do with this guy. Well, verse 1 of chapter 26, then Agrippa said unto Paul. Now, a little bit about Agrippa and Paul. He's the king, and guess what happened here? Now, Paul's a prisoner, been there 2 years, and he came in with great pomp and all this entourage, so to speak. And all of a sudden, Paul had an audience with not only Festus, King Agrippa, and Bernice. And then all the important men were there too, in the Roman government right there at this time. Paul may have never had that opportunity unless he was in chains. And Paul probably looked there and said, because I don't know if you ever read this, look at verse 2. What's the first four words there? I think myself what? Why would he think himself happy? If it's for the furtherance of the gospel, I get to speak to the king here. I would have never had an audience with him. I get to talk to Festus again. I never would have had an audience with him. All these important men, I never would have had an audience with them. Do you see how that works? If you're thinking for the furtherance of the gospel, your chains can be a way that gospel can move forward. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I'm accused of the Jews, especially because I know thou to be an expert in all the customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently." Now, this was the last of the Herod Agrippas. In other words, Agrippa's great-grandfather was the ones that killed the babies trying to kill Christ. That was Herod at Christmas. We had the Herod. That's this guy's grandfather. I mean, he's well acquainted with Jewish people. It's been down through his generations, from his grandfather to his father to him. He knows what it is. And so Paul was exactly right. Hey, you know Jewish people. And then Paul in verse 4, "My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made unto God and our fathers, under the promise of the 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I'm accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" Let's just stop there for a minute. I almost found it a little humorous here. Look at verse 19 of Acts 25, when Festus was trying to explain his dilemma to King Agrippa here. He said in verse 19 of Acts 25, "But certain questions against him of their own superstitions or religion, and one of Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive." At least he got that much of the gospel. Do you know what I'm saying? At least he knew there's some question about this guy's dead or alive. You know, at least he heard that much, and at least he was on the road to realizing that what Paul was saying, this Jesus is alive. Now, if you read the book of Acts and you go through the New Testament, what is the power of the cross in his forgiveness? But what is the hope of the believer? Is the empty grave. Is the empty grave. That's the resurrection. That's our hope. And we can talk about all kinds of things about God, but we need to make sure we always get people back to the resurrection of Christ, because that's our hope. Because he lives, we shall live also, for the furtherance of the gospel. And now, I want you to think this through for a minute. Was Paul a free man, or was he in bonds spiritually? He was a free man spiritually, right? These other men that were in front of him, were they in bonds? They were in bonds of what? Their sins. Paul never forgot what God did for him. I'll close with this illustration here. This is from the life of Dr. Harry A. Ironside. He was preaching one day. Some man made his way down the aisle, talked to one of the ushers, gave him a note, passed the note up to him as he was getting ready to speak. He read the note. This is what the note said. The note was from Arthur Lewis, an agnostic lecturer. And he proposed a challenge to Dr. Harry A. Ironside. Challenged the speaker to debate agnosticism versus Christianity. And he said to, Arthur Lewis said, I'll pay all your expenses. You come and debate with me. Dr. Ironside read the card, read it to the audience. He said, I tell you what, Mr. Lewis, I'll accept on this condition only. And this is what he said. First, that you promise to bring with you on the platform on that day one man who was an outcast, a slave to sinful habits, who but heard you or some other infidel lecture on agnosticism, was helped by it, cast away his sins, and became a new man, and is today a respectable member of society, all because of your unbelief. He said, second, if you agreed to bring with you one woman who had lost her purity and goodness, but now can testify that agnosticism came to her while deep in sin, planted in her poor heart the love of righteousness and the love of holiness, causing her to become upright in society, all through the disbelief in the Bible. He said, now, sir, if you will agree, I promise to be there with 100 such men and women, once just lost souls who heard the gospel of the grace of God, believed it, and have found new life and joy in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Will you accept my terms? And guess what he said? No, he wouldn't accept it. And the atheist walked away quietly. Do you believe in the furtherance of the gospel? I do. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the furtherance of the gospel. And Lord, as we look at the life of Paul in the book of Acts, God, we live in dark days and uncertain times, but Lord, we know that all things work together for good, for the furtherance of the gospel. So Lord, help us toward this end, God, that we would rely on you and trust you, and knowing, God, that you have our life in the hollow of your hands. And Father, we do know that you have a plan for eternity, and in that plan is each one of our lives woven together for the furtherance of the gospel. So help us toward this end to trust you, to rely on you, and to see and trust each day what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, we pray.